Today, Daf Yomi learners worldwide begin Masechta Sanhedrin. It's a propitious time to begin, since today is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a time of renewal, and a new Masechta certainly presents the opportunities for renewal, rejuvenation, a new beginning, which we all strive for. Especially Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishenuchnes Adar Marvin Simcha, Bein Simcha El Taira. Especially people who learn Torah now come to realize that the true Simcha Sachayim that a person could achieve in his life is only through Torah, through Limud HaTorah. The first Mishnah in Sanhedrin starts with six words: Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, Gzeilos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha, meaning literally Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, the adjudication of all financial disputes has to be done through a bezdin, through a court, a Torah court of dayanim, and specifically three dayanim. Gzeilos v'chavolos, laws, disputes pertaining to robbery, stealing, personal injury, also has to be adjudicated in front of three dayanim. And these first six words take up much of the discussion of the first six dafim of the Daf Yomi, and come up again and again throughout the Masechta. The Gemara attempts to understand what is meant by Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha specifically, because it's a Dinei Mamonos covers all financial matters, and yet we see that there are differences from the Dinim, the laws that follow, and the rest of the Mishnah. There are differences between different phases and different aspects of Talmudic jurisprudence when it comes to Chayshim Mishpat, when it comes to laws governing relationships between man and man, or man and woman. So first the Gemara seems to say, on Daf Beis Amud Beis, that what's meant by Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha is just an introduction to the Gzeilos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha. In other words, Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha and Mahein, what are they? They are the Dinei of Gzeilos V'Chavolos. What does it come to exclude? It comes to exclude Haidos V'Halvois, which are laws pertaining to borrowing and lending. So the Gemara asks, well, what does that mean, that laws pertaining, disputes pertaining to borrowing and lending don't need three dayanim? And the Gemara finally comes up with the solution that really Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, the first three words, are not a general rule, but the first part of the Mishnah, Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, applies specifically to laws pertaining to borrowing and lending. And Gzeilos V'Chavolos is something else. How are they different? Rebbe comes along and says they are different in that Haidos Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha means Haidos V'Chavolos. And Shloisha here, three, means three hetyotas. It means the three dayanim who do not have to be baki and knowledgeable in all aspects of the Torah. And Gzeilos V'Chavolos means that the laws that are a little bit more difficult to dispute where the disputes tend to be more heated, the education of those disputes must be in front of three mumchen, not hedyotes. What's the difference between a hedyot and a mumche? A mumche is someone who has smicha. And the main theme of this shiur is going to be exactly what smicha is and why smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's what mumche means. Of course, the smicha, as we see from all the Rishonim, smicha was given only to mumchen, only to those that were proficient, but highly proficient, in all aspects of Mishnah, Gemara, and Dalat Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. Hedyotis usually means a plain person. A hedyot usually, colloquially, it's used as a derogatory term, but in truth, in the Gemara, hedyotis does not mean just any plain person. It's also a person who is educated, not at all to the extent that a mumche is, but in order to be a dayan on any bezdin, he has to be knowledgeable. He doesn't have to be proficient, but he has to be knowledgeable in the particular laws that apply to the particular case that he's adjudicating. One of the things that the Gemara discusses, which is very pertinent, is how do we get to this? How do we get to this ruling of the Mishnah that in disputes concerning borrowing and lending, three hedyotis is sufficient, and disputes concerning more serious infringences, such as gzeilus v'chavolos, and the Gemara later will include knossos in this category, all adjudication of fines and monetary punishments placed on that the dayanim will place on the guilty party. And the Gemara comes up with the you'll see in the discussion of the Gemara that really midaraisa, meaning from the din of the original din of the Torah, we need three dayanim to be a dayan. A person has to be a mumcha. We need three dayanim mumchim for everything, any kind of a din Torah, whether it's Hidos Valvois or Zelos Vachavolos or anything. The only thing is the Chachamim made a takana for the benefit of people in need of money. So they said like this, they said, if we're not going to make a takana, what's going to happen is when times get a little bit tougher, people will withhold, people who can afford to lend out money and funds for people who are more needy, or people who are looking to go into business or expand their business, which everyone knows is based on borrowing. Of course, today we know all the abuses of the borrowing from the banks and so forth. But the main issue is to facilitate people lending money to people who need it. And if we're going to say that you need, if a dispute arises between the two parties, and they're going to, in this case, the malva, the lender, who wants his money back from the borrower, who is recalcitrant or negligent in paying back his loan, his debt, and the malva is going to, the lender is going to have to go looking for mumchen, it's going to be very hard, not easy to find mumchen. Mumchen of a very rare breed, it seems, even in the times of Chazal, even in the times of the Gemara. It's going to be difficult to find a mumche, and they will hesitate to lend out money. So to facilitate the lending of money for the sake of the borrower who needs it, they said that we don't need three mumchen for lending, we don't need three mumchen, but three hedyotis will be enough. And that takana is called Kadesh Aloitinal Delas Bifne Lav. Kadesh Aloitinal Delas Bifne Lav. We should not, they gave this takana a title. We should not close the door in the face of the borrower and make it difficult for him to borrow the money that he needs. Okay. There's a kasha that Taisus asks. Taisus asks the kasha at this. Firstly, the basis of Taisus' kasha. From the Gemara you will see that the reason we need mumchen, why the Taisus says mumchen, where do we know that from? Because in the parasha of Mishpatim, which we just read yesterday, in the parasha of Mishpatim, it mentions that in Fadinim, you need, it says three times the word Elohim. Elohim here, of course, not meaning God, but meaning the Dayan, the judge. The three Dayanim have to be Mumchen, because we learn that from the Pasuk and the Parsha of Mishpatim, specifically the Parsha of Shomrim. And we say also that either Parsha is Yeshkan, which means that whatever it says in one Parsha of Mishpatim can apply to all the Parshas of Mishpatim. Because Mishpatim incorporate all the laws of Beinan L'Chaveira, and therefore whatever it says in one parasha applies to another parasha, because they're all incorporated into the general rule of how a person is to relate to another person, and even in disputes, which is the true test of a person's mettle and how he acts in a dispute. People who could be the closest friends for years and years and really like each other and really care for each other and do so much for each other, but if they're somehow, sometime, could be even later in life, a dispute arises, and it could in very times regrettably has ruined and destroyed relationships. So that's why the Torah is very careful and requires that we have someone who can be called an Elohim. And we'll see right away why a Dayan is called Elohim. It's really a very, very novel idea. That, I mean, we know how careful we are with using the word Elohim and not applying any of the qualities or the characteristics of God to any human being. God is so remote and so completely distinct of any human attributes, and yet the Dayan, this man, can achieve the title and earn the title Elohim. Okay, that's how I know that we need three mumchen. So Taisus asks the kasha straight from the Chumash, from the segment we just learned. It says Eilu Hamishpatim Hashatosin Lufneihem. So the Chazal Dajim Lufneihem V'Loi Lufneihem Bez Nishalid Yotis. Put these Mishpatim in the hands of Mumchem and not in the hands of Ed Yotis. So how did the Chachamim come and seemingly defy an open ruling of the Chumash, the way Chazal understand it, and of course that's the only way to understand Chumash. A distinct ruling of the Chumash to Hashatosim Lufneihem V'Loi Lufnei Hadyotis. That's also L'Loi Lufnei Bezen Shalakum. But that's not the issue today. But the issue is L'Loi Lufneihem V'Loi Lufnei Hadyotis, and they come and say, well, we're going to go easy on the Hadas Valbavis, and we'll put that in the hands of Hadyotis. So Taisus asks, how come it's not enough that the Torah tells me three times Elohim to tell me that we need three Mumchen? Why do I need the Pasuk of Ashatasim Lefneim V'Loi Lefnei Hadyotis? I know that from three times Elohim. So Taisus, the Ran answers like this. Taisus answers something of a specific nature, but the Ran answers something of a more general and comprehensive nature. The Ran says that three times Elokim, that Bezin has no problem with getting around that. Why? Because we have a klal of Hefka Bezin Hefka. Hefka Bezin Hefka means that Bezin, when necessary, and of course only when necessary, can confiscate a person's private property. I guess in the civil law, the comparison would be when, like when the city or the state wants to build a highway, and it's right through people's property. Now, how could in Western society, private property is sacred? How do they take away the private property, make their roads or whatever? That's called public domain. They are allowed to proclaim public domain. They say this is necessary, and of course they have to appease the people and give them compensation for their property. But if the people still are demand their rights to keep their property, the state just goes ahead and confiscates. This is just an example of how what Hefka Bezin Hefka means. In other words, we also, the Torah also, as is evident from so many parshas, and especially in Mishpatim, the Torah also considers a person's private property sacred, not to be tampered with. But there are exceptions, and that's called Hefka Bezin Hefka. So here the Chazal saw an exception in the case of borrowing, to make it easier for people to do business and for people to, even for people, poor people who need the money to live on, to facilitate that. So they use the power that they have of Hefka Bezin Hefka to say that Hedyotis is enough here, we don't need more. That's three times a kid. Now, why do I need Lufnayim? Lufnayim, so the Ran comes up with a very very original and provoking thought. He says, but still, how could Beis Din delegate their authority when their authority is based on their proficiency in Torah, and a Hedyot doesn't have that proficiency? How could they delegate? How could they delegate to something that involves a bezayin of Torah? They're giving up the kesa ha-Torah, which the crown of Torah, which belongs only on the heads of the mumchim and not on anyone else's head, and say that and so we say here also, even though they it's very difficult for them to give up that crown, but here too they made an exception. Shalai Tilun goes before Allah. That's how the Ran answers. Now there's a Gemara in Bava Kama. The Tosis brings in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Bava Kama says that really mumchen have to be smuchen, but the mumchen and smicha, as we'll see soon, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha can be given only in Eretz Yisrael. But yet the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael can delegate their authority to even Hedyotis in Chutz La'aretz. I remember this at a time when the majority of Jews lived in Bavel, and the Talmud Bavli was composed in Bavel. So they could delegate their authority and say that in Bavel, and the Gemara classifies qualifies their delegation, that the delegation only applies to Haidas Val voice blending, because of the Takana Shloitinal Dels Bafinilav, to facilitate lending and borrowing. So they can delegate that authority that they have to the Chachamim in Bavel or in Chutz La'aretz. So one of the questions that I'd like to discuss is, why do we need the delegation of that authority to come from the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we say, just like the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael made a takona to facilitate lending and borrowing, And they abrogated the rights of the mumchen, and they said this can be done by hedyotis also. Why can't the same takana apply in chutzlaret? That over there also, you would need mumchen, but of course you don't have mumchen in chutzlaret, as we shall soon see, because there's no shliach in chutzlaret. But they gave it over to hedyotis anyway. So why can't we say that the takana applies directly, not through shlichus, but directly to the hedyotis in chutzlaret, just like the hedyotis in Eretz Yisrael can adjudicate Eidos Halavos, the same thing in chutzlaret. Why does it have to go through shlichus? Why does this have to go through the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael? If there was a case where there were no chachamim in chutzlaret, and of course even though there's no smich in chutzlaret, but we know there was certainly mumche, there were great mumchim. We're talking about the times of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and Rav Chizda and Rav Yosef and Rabbe and Abaye and Rove and Rav Ashi, Rabina. Who were greater mumchim than them? And yet they were not allowed to adjudicate Gzeilus Chabolos because they did not have smicha. By the way, that's why the Avoraim in Bavel were called Rav, right? Rav Chizdir, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael are called Rebbe. In Talmud Yerushalmi, they're called Rebbe, my Rebbe. We'll see right away why that distinction is made very clearly. But they were certainly mumchem. They deserved the title. They deserved the title of Rav. We'll get to this a little bit later on, but in the meantime, just suffice it to say, in the word of Yud Gimel of Beis, the voice it says what smicha is. The voice says, "Amalei samchalei b'shma." The word yes, "Amalei ravacha b'lei the rov lo avashi." Do we need that the masmich should put his hand on the samich when he gives him the smicha? Amalei no, samchen le b'shma. You have samich him by giving him a name, kari le Rebbe, by giving him the name Rebbe. So all the one who gives the smicha has to do, he doesn't put his hand on the samich. Not like the smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yeshua. But the Masmuch just says, from now on, you are called Rebbe. In the Rambam it says that the Masmuch tells him, Harei atos samuch, you are a samuch now. And Hagban Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer questions where the Rambam gets this from, because in the Gemara it doesn't say that he tells him, Harei atos samuch, he just tells him, Kodin le Rebbe, from now on you'll be called Rebbe. And then it says, "Vayavilo reshusel maiden dinaknosis," and you have reshus to be done dinaknosis, the halachas of knosis and fines and financial punishment. So. Back to our original question, why do I need Shluchasaya to have Dina? Why do the Chachamim, who are so great, and there are many places in the Gemara that lauds the advantages of each one, the Chachamim, Chachmei Bavel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, places that each one has his own greatness, distinctive greatness. Why do we need Shluchasaya? Why do we need a situation whereby the Chachamim of Bavel are completely subservient to the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, to the extent that it's only by the delegation and appointment of the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, doesn't mean the specific appointment of each Chacham, but the Kayach of the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, by which any dayan in Chutz La'aretz has the has the power and the right to be a judge. So let's take a look in the Rambam. One more Gemara before we go to the Rambam, which is the way we should go through the Gemaras before we go to the Rambam. That's how we learn. Some people go from the Shulchan Aruch to the Rambam, from the Rambam to the Gemara, and from the Gemara to the Chumash. But the real way of learning is to go from the Chumash to the Gemara, and from the Gemara to the Rambam. One Gemara that's on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, also a unique Gemara. Gemara Amar Yehoshua ben Levi. Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There's no smicha in chutz la'aretz. He does not give a reason why. He doesn't give a source. He doesn't say where he learns that from. And the whole Masechta Sanhedrin and the whole Jewish system, the Torah system of jurisprudence, is based on this smicha. And Yehoshua ben Levi comes along and says, but only in Eretz Yisrael. Where does he get this from? And this is the core issue of today's shiur, which I would like to explain. And here we go to the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Levi. The Rambam says the following: Echad beis din hagadol oy sanhedrin ktana, which means say the beis din hagadol, that's the Sanhedrin of 71. Oy sanhedrin ktana, that's the beis din of 23 that you need for din and nefoshes. Oy beis din shel shloisha, or beis din of 3, tzrichin shiyah kol echad mehem samach mipi samach. Each one has to be a samach mipi samach. The only one who can give smicha is someone who has smicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, and here the Rambam gives us a little bit of history, which is unusual for the Rambam. The Rambam is not a history book. The Rambam is a Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam is a halacha sefer. Just to tell you the halachas, the Rambam does not go through all the sources of the halachas of each halacha, because that's what the Shas is for. The Rambam just gives you the synopsis and the review and the final outcome of all the discussions in Shas. And here he gives you a piece of history. Moshe Rabbeinu samach Yeshua biyad. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, gave smicha to Yeshua biyad, with his hand. Shenema, as esh deitin the Torah, v'yismach es yadav olav v'yitzavehu. Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was only commanded to put one hand on Yeshua, but Moshe Rabbeinu, being the lover of the Ayav of Yisrael, did it with all his heart, and he put both hands on Yeshua. That's the smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua. Now, v'chein hashiv miskein to Moshe Rabbeinu samchom v'shorsa aleim shchina. And the 70 of Canaan, Moshe Rabbeinu also gave them a smicha. And the Shekhinah, the godly presence, rested upon them. What is this? Who says you need Shekhinah to be a Dayan? To be a Dayan, you have to learn and toil and harav and work for years and years and years to become a Dayan. What's this got to do with Shekhinah? Now, weiter. Ba'oisen as kenem samchu la'acherem. Those kenem who gave smicha to others, va'acherem la'acherem, and the others to others. V'nim tzu asmuchim ish mi pi'ish ad beis dinu shel Yeshua. Comes out that every samuch that there ever was, all the way down to about at least 200 years after the Churban HaBayis, when there was still smicha. Every one of them, the one that hundreds of years later, that smicha relates to the smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, that Yeshua ben Nun and Beis Dina gave. Nimtzei asmuchim ish mipi ish ad Beis Dina shel Yeshua ad Beis Dina shel Moshe Rabbeinu. The echad anismuch pi anosia mipi echad asmuchim. All right, I feel like he also has something to say about it. Okay. We have to understand here what's going on. This is a unique halacha. The whole Choshen Mishpat is based on this one halacha, and the halacha is a half a line of the Gemara without a source. And we should understand also, the Rama says that it comes out that each samuch really got smicha from the bezel of Yeshua. He says, Ad beis dina shel Moshe Rabbeinu. If it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, why does he insert Yeshua? Goes back. He should just say it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does he mention Yeshua? Okay, the next halacha. The ketzer yasmicha l'dodes. What is smicha? Zokdama loishi yismuchu yidem al loisha zokim. They don't put their hands on the head of the zokim. Elo shekodem le rabbi. They call him rabbi. Of course, this is where Moshe is the first. I think it's the first tshuva in Choshen Mishpat. This is where Moshe asks, where does the Ram get Harayat HaSomach? That's not in the Gemara. V'yesh l'chol reshus, he tells him, v'yesh l'chol reshus, l'odin afilu dina knosis, that isn't the Gemara. Then the Ram says, v'ein sam chasvich hazushi yimini hazken or dayonis ele b'shloish, you need three. So this is really the Rambam saying, I think this is just a minig, I don't think this is a din, because even one person has smicha can administer smicha to his student or to someone else. Now halacha dalet, again we find something very interesting in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ein kari elohim ala bezdin shenismuchu b'eretz Yisrael b'levad. He's not called Elohim. A Bezdin is not called Elohim. Only a Bezdin that got smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Vehem, who are they? Who are Anoshim, Hachachomim, Haruyim, Lodin? Shabbat Kuoysan, Bezdin, Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, Vehim Kuoysan, Vesam Kuoysan. And Stavka people, Chachomim, that are Roy, that are worthy of being called Dayan, that they were tested by the Bezdin Shalat Yisrael. The Himchoisam means they declared them to be proficient, totally proficient in the Torah. By the way, we can't imagine what that is. There hasn't been somebody like that, I don't know in how many years, but totally proficient to be worthy of smicha. The Himchoisam, the Samchoisam, and they gave them smicha. Why does the Rambam say Ein Kari Elohim Ela Bezdin Shenismuchu Eretz Yisrael? Why does he say Ein Kari Dayan Ela Bezdin Shenismuchu Eretz Yisrael? He can't be a Dayan unless he has smicha. What does the Rambam say? He's that called Elohim. Obviously, the Rambam is telling me something over here. He's telling you something that bumch is one thing, but to be, it's not enough for smicha. You need that he should be worthy of the title Elohim. Obviously, this is what the Rambam is telling us. And based on this, I think, is the Rambam says his din in Halacha Aleph. That the smicha, how did Rambam, was perplexed by this question, how could a human being be called Elohim? Even allegorically, or by parable. How can you associate the title of him to a human being, how great he is, as great as he is? Moshe Rabbeinu was technically called Ish Elohim. He's the only one. The only one in the world that was ever called Ish Elohim. Oh, but how could a guy and anybody else be called Elohim? So Rambam learned this from the fact that smicha, when one Rav gives smicha to another Rav in the times of Chazal, which of course is not done today, our smicha today is a far cry, very far cry from the smicha that was given in Eretz Yisrael. It's called smicha only by for the lack, I guess for the lack of a better word, but it really is not smicha. It's not smicha at all. Whatever. So the Rambam's learned that the smicha that one Rav gives to another is not just with his power that he has. Every masmich, every Rav that gives a smicha to his Talmud or to someone else who he deems worthy, he is attaching him to the chain of Masada that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. He is giving in the smicha, he's giving over something in miniature, a bit of the smicha, the original smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to give to Yeshua. And Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish Elohim. In the Mele, every Dayan who gets smicha could be considered Elohim in miniature for the Ish Elohim of Moshe Rabbeinu. But every Dayan has the Ruach HaKodesh. How do you explain Ruach HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh in literally means Holy Spirit, but of course it's a word that we don't like to use. It's a word that's rather misused. But literally, it means Ruach HaKodesh when it comes to Chachamim. Chachmei Yisrael, it means when a Chacham reaches a certain madrega, proficiency in Kol HaTorah Kula, he then becomes a Chacham intuitively, by intuition. He will know the din, even if it's not written specifically in the Torah, but he will be able to interpret the din intuitively to the truth. And to establish the truth, which of course is the purpose of every dayan called dayan shadon don emes lamita. The purpose of a dayan is to establish the truth. The purpose of a din Torah is to establish the truth. He will do it intuitively. He has a ruach hakodesh. That's smicha. That's not mumcha. You could be a mumcha, but not smicha. Smicha means the administering, not just of the right to be a judge of Jewish law, but it's the administering of a bit of the Shechina that rested on Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the Rambam says over here, V'chein Shivu Zekein Moshe Rabbeinu Samchom V'shorsa Aleihem Shechina. Can apply. V'shorsa Aleihem Shechina. How do they have the Shechina? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shechina was shared on him. That's what we told Yeshua, V'rasata Mehoit Cholom. When the Eibishter commanded the Moshe Rabbeinu to give smicha to Yeshua, he said, "V'lasata mehoit cholam, you give from your glory, from the Ruach HaKodesh that rests upon you. Give that over. Transmit that." And that's every smicha. Memeilat comes out zakta that smicha goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nimtza, Asmuchin, Ishmi, Bisha, Besdina, Shal, Yeshua, Besdina, Shal, Moshe, but it goes back to Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu. We asked before, why does he put Yeshua in here? Because the smicha changed. Because the smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu on Yeshua was Biyad. Moshe did Bishtei Yoda. Right? But from Yeshua on, it's not Biyad anymore. It's a Korale Rebbe. Korale Bishmo. Besamchinale Bishmo. Korale Rebbe. We call him Rebbe. And Midukh, that's the pshat where the Raman Hakobay says, he says, besides Shekhar Lerabe, what is he adding? He's not adding. He's explaining what Shekhar Lerabe means. Shekhar Lerabe means, excuse me, not just that I declare you to be proficient in Jewish law, but I declare that the Shechina rests on you now. That's Shekhar Lerabe. It's like Klima. He's not saying that. Another title. That's smicha. Hareyatos samuch. If you wouldn't say that, I would think Shekhar Lerabe means that you are right to be a teacher and to be a rebbe and to be a dayan. No, much more than that. You are right that the Shechina should rest on you, and the smicha that I'm administering to you incorporates that Shechina that rested on Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Yeshua, and that Yeshua gave, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to the Skenim, Rishon Salem Shechina. And all this, I think, the Rambam knows because he could not understand why should a human being be called Elohim. He's called Elohim because he is not just a person who is a genius and a proficient in all Jewish law, and a Baki B'Shas, and an Amkin, and a Gomed, and a Sovid, and all the titles that the Gemara says on a Dayan. But he's more than that. He's a person that the Shekhinah grew to fit. He used to say, when a Talmud Chacham walked into the room, and you see, with a hadlus ponim, there used to be an expression, Mezet ad Shekhinah grew to fit. You see that the Mezet ad Shekhinah grew to fit. So, of course, that's an expression. Might be true, might not be true, but a samuch, it's about a true. And the Rambam learned that from Elohim. That's why the Torah said that there, it is possible to call a human being Elohim, because you have a samuch only. It's possible to call a samuch, even though he's a mere mortal, but it's possible to call him Elohim because the Shekhinah rests on him. And it's the Shekhinah, it's the same Shekhinah that Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to Yeshua. And the Sma'at HaKadosh brings that, why, I don't think he says it in the Rambam, but he says that, makes this chilek, he says, the Rambam something else, he says, why do we call it Smicha today, since it's Alper, Karolei Rabbi, why do we call it Smicha? Because Smicha means the resting of, the putting upon of hands, right? The Karol Rebbe is not literally can't be called smicha. So how come if the smicha changed from smicha biyat to smicha bepeh with Yeshua, why do we still call it smicha? As the Sma says, because because we bought all the smichas, and I think this is what the way we explained it is taklo pshat nesma. The Sma said, because since all smichas derive, smichas are not an independent act of each of between the masmich and the samuch, but it's an act that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that pertains back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and incorporates the shechinah that rested upon Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and that smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua was biyad. So we keep the term smicha, even though it's not really literally apropos, but it's apropos in the sense that the smicha of Bepeh today does have a shaychus and a connection to the smicha biyad of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I think one might add that if one wants to dig a little bit deeper, why do we need for a dayan that the shechinah should rest upon? Why do we need all this? Why does this have to be? We know that there's nothing in the Torah that's extraneous. Everything that it says in the Torah is muchrach. There's nothing that's happenstance or haphazard. Everything is muchovet. Why do we need that the dayanim who adjudicate Jewish law to the Jewish people? Why do they have to have the shechinah? And I think the explanation is very simple. When dayanim, two people, Reuven and Shimon, come to a din Torah. Reuven says Shimon owes him money. Reuven says Shimon stole from him. Reuven says Shimon inflicted injury upon him. And Shimon tries to get out of it. Reuven takes Shimon to court, takes to Beis Din. And the Beis Din does all the things that they have to go through, all the steps of Drishon Chakir and whatever they have to go through, until they find out the emes, it has to be Edim, and they have to inspect the Edim, until they come to the final din. What is that din? What is the final psad? The final psad is Reuven owes Shimon this and this. No. This psad now becomes part of the corporate Torah. This becomes Torah now. The dayan's psak is not not like in cases of civil law. In case of civil law, this is what you have to do. But in Jewish law, besides the dayan paskening, this is what you have to do. This becomes now part of Torah, and Torah means that if it's part of Torah, it has to be the Torah that was given to Moshe b'Sinai. There's no such thing as any Torah. Like the Gemara says, Kol Nasha Talmud Vasik Asid L'Chadish Nemel L'Moshe B'Sinai. everything that a Talmud would be mechadish in Torah, in the dinim of Torah and learning of Torah. Today, Baruch Hashem, there's a proliferation of Sfarim being printed and all with new ideas, and all these ideas were what incorporated in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Bahar Sinai. We believe this very firmly. So every psak of Sanhedrin, every psak of a Bezdin, becomes Torah. It's not the pshat a psak do this and this. This is what the Torah says to do. In fact, I think the Dayan says when he gives the psak, he doesn't say Reuven give Shimon $100. He says Reuven, the Torah says to give Shimon $100. In a matter, it's got to be with Shechina. In order for it to become part of Torah, it's got to be with Shechina. When the Eibishter gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the Shechina. The Torah was imbued with Shechina. Torah Misina. Everything that it says in the Torah is Misina, and Misina means that the Eibishter said it. The Eibishter himself. It's the Eibishter's Torah Selakim. I think this is what the Yisod of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which appears here in Sanhedrin many times, of Shluchasai Kavdinon. Shluchasai Kavdinon. Okay, I'm sorry. First, back to Ein Smicha Al Eretz Yisrael. Why does Smicha have to be Eretz Yisrael? Nobody says. I looked at all the Mefarshim. Nobody says. Why Smicha has to be Eretz Yisrael? The Duch Zepasha, with this Lamba, that Smicha means Shechina. Shechina? The Shechina is Shaita in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Shechina in Chutz La'aretz. I mean, the Shechina means presence, and the Shechina is all over. But the Shechina of Eretz Yisrael does not exist. That's what David HaMelech begged Shaul, don't force me to leave Eretz Yisrael, because then I'll be without the Shechina. I'll be like a neighbor that way the sun. Shechina is in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chazon Ish mentions that the Shechina of Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with the whole Sugya Sagamara of Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Shaita, Kedusha L'Sod Lover, Kedusha Shnei, Kedusha L'Shaita. That's negated the mitzvahs of Kli Yisbar, that's where the mitzvahs are still dying. The has nothing to do, even though after the Churban the Kedusha was bottled. Even if we hold that the Kedusha was bottled after the Churban, but the Shechina was not bottled. The Shechina never left Eretz Yisrael. And of course we have a momentum, a memo of that, in the form of the Pesel HaMaravi, that everyone knows, that Gemara says, Rav Yishalmi, that Lezaz Shechina made. That's the Shechina Beis Hamikdash, the specific Shechina Beis Hamikdash. But the Shechina Beis Yisrael never left. You don't need Kesel Maravi for that. The Shechina Beis Yisrael, that's the difference between Eretz Yisrael that Yeshua was Kovish, and that Ezra led the Yidden back into Bayis Sheni, and the Eretz Yisrael that belongs to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Eretz Nachlas Avosenu. The Eretz Yisrael that the Eibishter promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was never rescinded. And all the Gullus had no effect on that. Eretz Yisrael, it's our land, and it's the land of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And why is it the land of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? Because that's where the Shechina is. Memele ein smicha al Eretz Yisrael. Memele smicha has to be the transmission of Shechina, and you can't transmit something you don't have. The Masmich had Shechina, because he lives in Eretz Yisrael, Memele he could transmit it to someone else. In Chutz La'aretz, there can't be a masmach, and there can't be a samach, because Chutz La'aretz, even though they were the biggest mumchim, all the Amoraim, the biggest mumchim, but the Shechina of Eretz Yisrael was missing, and Memele they could not be smich in Chutz La'aretz. And that's what Yehoshua ben Levi says, Ein smich elo Eretz Yisrael. And all that's included in ein kari elohim ala bezni shenesmuchu beretz yisrael. To be elohim, to be shchina, the shchina should rest on him. That can only be in Eretz Yisrael, because you can't create something out of nothing. In Eretz Yisrael, you can transmit the shchina because it's there. It's there, and you have it. The samach has it, and mainly he could transmit it to the he could be masmich another samach. In other words, the chachma of Eretz Yisrael cannot be duplicated. Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. It's the same Torah. Whether it's Talmud Yerushalayim, whether it's Talmud Bavli, whether you learn Torah in Yerushalayim, whether you learn Torah in America or in China, it's the same Torah. What says Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael? That's the pshat. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael comes with the kedusha of Ruach HaKodesh of Shechina. Remember, that's why the answer to our original kasha, why do you need to say the chomer of takana that gimel that did mamas b'shloishes who had as well was even we had yaitis the takana is because the shloishes dealt with a lavin. So yes, why do you need to say the same takana they made over there they can make over here? The tenets all dayanus, even though they don't have smicha, there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz, but it has to go through Eretz Yisrael. Just like the hashpah in what it says in the Sfar Makdoshim, the hashpah to the entire world goes through Eretz Yisrael. The Eibishter, Eni Hashem Bo Mereish Hashana Vadach Hashana, the eyes of the Eibishter on Eretz Yisrael, nothing else. The Schutz Eretz Yisrael, he's Mashpi on the rest of the world also. It's all in the Schutz of Eretz Yisrael. Something happens in the world, it has to do with Eretz Yisrael. If there's an earthquake in Haiti, Yidden in Yerushalayim and Yidden in Eretz Yisrael have to know that it has to do, they're involved in it. If there's an Einish anywhere in the world, it comes through Eretz Yisrael. Everything that happens. And of course, Midatayim Rebbe, and the good things that happen in the world is all b'schus with the Hashpah of Eretz Yisrael. Einei Hashem Bo Mereish Hashana V'Rach Hashana. Everything goes to Eretz Yisrael. But maybe Dayanus, which is specifically Eretz Yisrael, Ein Smicha Al Eretz Yisrael, meaning that's just that the Smicha Al Eretz Yisrael means that the dag of Chochmah that Smicha gives to a person, the Koyach of Shechina, that gives him that says that this is the Makah HaChochmah. All of the Chochmah, be it the greatest Chochmah of the Talmud of the Amoraim of Talmud Bavli, has to come, the authority has to come through Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Takana, that's why Shluchasai Kavdinan, the Takana of Shloshi Adyotis, they can't do it. The reason they did it, the reason they made the Takana, that even though really Midaraisi need Mumchen, but for Hidos Alvois, Adyotis is enough. The reason they did it, Shloshi does with Neilavim. But that's not the authority. The authority comes from Eretz Yisrael. And Mele, the Takara, we have to begin with, what do I need Shluchasai? I need Shluchasai because everything has to go through Eretz Yisrael. I think that's Pshat. The Ptais says that this Takana of Hoidos Lavois, Takana that it's Kosher Bed Yaitis, that it's Bid Bed Yaitis. So the Ptais says that in Eretz Yisrael, the Takana was made by Pshim Nimas Delas. And in Chutz La'aretz, it's because of shlichus. That's what the others. Because this is the pshat that says what? Because otherwise, what? What do you need? Why do you need? If why do you need Chutz La'aretz? It should be because of shlichus. Why can't it be because of Nilas Delos also, just like an Eretz Yisrael? This is the answer. This is, I think, what the Ktzais means. That it's got to go through shlichus. So the Takana, the original Takana, was made in Eretz Yisrael because of Shloim Tidal Gaos. But in order for that Takana to be applied anywhere else in Chutz La'aretz, it's got to go through shlichus, delegation. It's from Eretz Yisrael. Ein chachma k'chachma Eretz Yisrael.